This is the church. This is what it's supposed to look like. And so thank you, everybody, for being here today. Thank you to those of you who have given faithfully to Normandale. We've had several things. I don't know if you know, there was like a pandemic happened, and then we kind of were getting back, and then there was a massive building flood, and it's been just one thing after another. But even though our circumstances have changed, the mission has not. And so I'm grateful for all of you that have given your time, your finances to help our kids ministry to continue doing things. You've given money, and that's allowed me to buy postcards and stamps to send kids notes on their birthday. You've given money that's allowed us to purchase curriculum so we can meet, even if it's digitally. And given money so we can buy snacks. Preteens, how many of you like having the snacks on Wednesday night? Okay, yeah. Things like that, right? Jace has got his hands up. He's not supposed to take snacks, but now I know he does. And so we're grateful for you guys that have given and just continued helping the mission move forward, even though it looks different. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians today, chapter 12. Paul, when he writes letters, often writes if he sees a problem or a threat to the church. It might be that there is division within the church. It might be someone from the outside is bringing a false teaching. It may just be that the situation the church is in, the people around them are making it difficult to do ministry. And so Paul writes this letter to the church in Corinth, and it was in a geographically significant location, and so it became a politically important city. And through that, people gravitated towards it, and it became a place where there was a whole bunch of idolatry, there was a lot of divisions, and so Paul, his main kind of emphasis in the letter of 1 Corinthians is he's calling the church to do two things. One is to strive for holiness, to live in a way that looks different to the world around them. And the second thing, which is a key part of that, is to strive for unity, that there shouldn't be any divisions in the church. And really, if we're going to strive for holiness, then we need to strive for unity too. And so we're going to start in verse 12. But in the first part, in verses 1 through 11, Paul has been going through spiritual gifts. And I want to hit just two verses that kind of set the tone for us in that. Verse 7, he says, "A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person." Every Christian is given some form of gift, a manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good, for the good of the church, for the good of the kingdom, for the good of all the people around them. God is gifting every Christian. Verse 11, "One and the same Spirit is active in all these." He's just spent three verses listing a lot of different gifts. "One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills." There's an intentionality in the way that God has crafted every believer, gifted every believer, and we're going to see there's an intentionality between how he has brought the body together, how he has brought all of us here to be sitting in a school cafeteria today. There's an intentionality behind this group of people. And so we're going to start in verse 12. "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many." And I want to read again what Everett read. Kids, I need you to listen real carefully, okay? There is a certain word that I'm going to say a lot of that I'm about to read. I want you to see if you can figure out which word you hear a lot, okay? Listen to this. It said, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." Can anyone tell me what word I said a lot there? Shout it out. Good. Okay. That was good. Great job. That Paul is emphasizing this oneness, right? We are all individual people, individual parts, but together we're part of some cohesive whole. We're part of something bigger than just us. There is one body full of different parts, all contributing in different ways. Now, the analogy of a body makes more sense when you begin to get older, okay? Now, when I was young, I thought that my body would begin to break down when I was like 60 or 70 or 80. The reality is, like, my eyesight has been getting worse since I was 23. And within the last 2 months, two things have happened to me that shows that my body is beginning to break down and helps me understand this better. One, yeah, I sprained my ankle And I don't really know how I did it. Like, I was walking in the yard, and I think that's what it was, but I don't know. I had to go and get an x-ray. It was hurting for 2 weeks. I don't know what I did, but my body was beginning to break down. Perhaps the best one, Casey, you'll enjoy this. So about a week ago, it's four in the morning, five in the morning, my leg, my calf muscle started to cramp in the middle of the night. And so I just jumped out of bed. I was like, And she's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'm like, nothing, it's fine. Which nothing about screaming and holding my leg while walking around suggests it's fine. But I knew what was happening. And I was asleep. I was totally out of it. And my whole body jumped into action and responded because of the pain. Because one part of my body was not working the way it meant to. And so as you get older, you begin to really understand how this whole body of Christ thing should work. And so that gave me a good picture and kind of led me towards preaching on this. And so what Paul's going to look at is a couple of things that could stop the body from functioning the way it was designed to, from stop the body from functioning as a cohesive whole. And John Piper outlines these two ailments as, on one side, there's feelings of uselessness. That is to say, I am not as important to the body, to God, to the kingdom as that person is. And on the other side, he said there's feelings of self-sufficiency. That is to say, I am more important to God, to the body, to the kingdom than that person is. Both of those stop us from engaging in the right way with each other and living in unity as a church. There's a pastor out in Nevada called Josh Tyson. He preached on this a couple years ago, and one thing that stuck with me, which I thought was great. How many of you guys have watched Winnie the Pooh or know what Winnie the Pooh is? Is that anyone in here? I didn't know if it's a British thing. I don't know. Okay, so there's a character in there. Okay, you know what I'm talking about with Eeyore, right? It's kind of like just, right? Like really down in the dumps, okay? Josh Tice, like, it's perfect. These next few verses, you have to imagine it's as if Eeyore himself is talking, okay? I'm going to do my best to try and help you with that, right? It says this in verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, you have to do the sigh, it kind of feels better. Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. That's the equivalent of us saying, like, because I'm not like this person, I'm not as important to the church. I'm not as important to the body because I'm not like this person. I'm not gifted in this way. Or maybe you're like, I'm too old to be as important in the body as this person is. I can't do as much. Or maybe I'm too young. I can't do as much. I'm not as important to the body. All of that is wrong. But Paul is getting that, and we'll see. It's part of God's design. He says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as he wanted. Every single person in this room has a part to play. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, every single person has a part to play. God has arranged the body in such a way that it's full of a diverse people, gifted in different ways, but all called to work together. There's no hierarchy of kind of spiritual gifts, right? We might see it that way, okay? But just because someone is gifted as a teacher or a shepherd, it doesn't mean that they are more important than someone who's gifted in hospitality or in giving or in serving behind the scenes. Same thing is, just as though with our church, there is no hierarchy of any members being more important than the other, right? The pastors are not more important to the church than people who aren't pastors in the church. Everybody has the same status and level and is all as important as each other. I'd like you to think about this. What are your first memories of Normandale? Some of you, that's like 2 weeks ago. Some, that's like 2 months or 2 years. Some, it's 2 decades. Some, it's longer than that, right? Some, you can't remember that far back. Okay, I remember mine. I was a 16-year-old boy. And my first memories of Normandale were not what the pastor was preaching about. Though I'm sure it was good and honoring to God. It was not what the worship leader was leading us in. I'm sure it was good and glorifying to God. My first memories of Normandale were many people in this room. Some people who took me in and allowed me to stay in their house and showed their gift of hospitality. Others who showed their gift of giving by generously giving and spending time with me. Others showing gifts of discernment, giving advice to a 16-year-old kid who thought he was mature and was trying to figure out how to follow Jesus. Those people are the people I remember. And God has designed the body in such a way that we are diverse and we're all important. It says, and if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. All gifts are given by the same Spirit and all so important. And then he gets to kind of a different ailment, the feeling of self-sufficiency, the I'm more important than they are. That's going to call for a different voice. These voices are hard on my voice, but we'll try. Okay, 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. That's my kind of high and lofty voice that I'm going with. Okay. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Right? Can't do that. That sounds deaf. Now, this next phrase is one of my favorite phrases that if you say it right, you can sound really proper and British. Okay. It's a great one. Okay. It says, on the contrary. If you want to sound British, practice, that's the phrase to go with. All right. You have to go, on the contrary, it's beautiful, right? It says, those parts of the body that are weaker. Now hear this, Paul is not saying that there are parts of the body that are legitimately weaker. It's almost like weaker, like your Lego movie quotation mark style thing, right? What he's saying is the parts of the body that maybe aren't held as in high esteem, the gifts that maybe aren't looked at, the gifts that maybe are happening behind the scenes. Every Sunday morning, Chris Mensch and a bunch of other guys get here at 8:15 so that we can do this. And some of you have never even seen those guys doing that. You don't even know who's doing it. You know what Paul says about that? On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. We cannot function without everybody doing their role, whether it's something that's seen on stage or something behind the scenes. We can't function without it. Thinking of back when we're at our church building, people that mow the grass, do the landscaping, people that show hospitality and help when we have a funeral, people that exercise their gifts of prayer, or that care for our widows, a lot of stuff that isn't seen. It's indispensable. We all have a role to play, and every one of us is indispensable to what God is doing here. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, in verse 23, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable. So God has put the body together for this reason. Get this. So that there will be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. In the city that he is writing to, the city is rampant with divisions, rampant with people who only really care for people who think like them. And that got me thinking. That kind of sounds a lot like the society we live in nowadays. We've moved away from maybe you have people that you disagree with and you might have kind of a dialogue to now where if someone disagrees with you or their views don't line up with yours, then their views don't matter. And we're moving towards the point where that person doesn't even matter. And that's not something we can choose to do as Christians, even if the world around us is doing that. It says we're called to have the same concern for each other. I was at a lunch a couple weeks ago, and there was a pastor there called Ed Litton, and this is what he said. He said, we need to love and engage people who don't think like us, who don't look like us, or who don't vote like us. We have to love and engage people with the same concern within the body who don't think like us, maybe don't agree on every single thing, people who don't look like us, and people who don't vote like us. I can't legally vote. But if I did, I would have wrote in Queen Elizabeth II. But I don't know if that's too close to July 4th. But we have to, it's like we can laugh about it, but sometimes it is hard. And we have to work at loving people that don't think like us, loving people that don't look like us, loving people that don't vote like us. But that's what we're called to do as part of the church. Brent Mason and I were sitting around a couple weeks ago, and Mason kind of made a comment just saying that it seemed like our church had been through a really tough time. Just over the last kind of couple of years, just different families, different parts of our body have been suffering. And I'm right in that right now myself. But what's been really encouraging to me, and one thing that I absolutely love about this church, is how we kind of live out this next verse. So if one member suffers, verse 26, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I've seen this. When part of our body is suffering, I have seen other parts of the body come alongside and suffer with those people. Same thing, when part of our body is doing well, then we are rejoicing with them. It's encouraging to see how our church lives this out. And it has been hard for individual parts of our body. And even thinking about the pandemic and then the catastrophic building flood. And that has affected all of us in some way. And maybe all of us have felt slightly distant in some way from other people in the body. But it's been really cool to see how our church just keeps pushing forward. Like I said, our circumstances have changed several times, but our mission has not. And I've been encouraged to see the people in this room continuing to push forward and trying to live that out. And the band can come up. I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to try and wrap up real quick. We'll see how I go. And I was thinking about this, and we are on the cusp of a new chapter for our church. I really do believe it. In hopefully later this summer, we will get to go back to our church building, which is going to be really exciting. And we'll get to kind of rebuild some ministries and restart some ministries and kind of get going again. And here's my challenge to all of you guys, young and old. What are you going to do about it? All of us have a role. All of us are indispensable. We have something to give. If you're a Christian, you've been given a spiritual gift. And so how are we going to use that for the common good? I see there being kind of three options, okay? Maybe you're a church member already. And so the question is, how am I going to use my gifts to serve this church for the good of this church and for the good of the neighborhood around it? And if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, I would encourage you and ask people around you that are close to you. They might be able to tell you. There's quizzes you can take. Maybe you're this person. Maybe you're a Christian, but you're not yet a church member. I would encourage you, talk to Brent, Mason, or myself about becoming a member of Normandale. Church membership is so important. I have memberships to Sam's. A bunch of us have memberships to gyms. Some of us, here's a question. I'm not going to look at anyone I'm related to specifically, but have any of you signed up for a free trial before that has accidentally turned into a membership for something? Okay, I hear laughing. A lot of us have, okay? So sometimes we have memberships we want. Sometimes we have memberships we don't even mean to have, but we have them. And so we've had a few of those. And so church membership is important. That's my point. I got distracted. Church membership is important. If you are not a member of Normandale, we'd love to talk to you about being bought in and figuring out how you can play your part in the body. And the final thing, maybe you aren't a Christian yet. Kids, every year at VBS, they have a song and it always has three letters in. The first one is A. What does that stand for? Admit. Awesome, right? Admit to God that He is awesome and you are not. That God is King, rules over everything, His way is good, and that you've decided that your way is better and you've kind of gone and done your own thing and turned your back on Him. And to repent and say, God, I want to follow you now, right? Then there's a B. What does the B stand for? Believe. Awesome, right? It sounds for believe that Jesus is God's Son and that He came into the world to save everyone. That's a VBS song lyric right there from like a million years ago. Some of you also have it burned in your brains, okay? But it's true. Believe that Jesus is God's Son. He lived a perfect, sinless life and yet was brutally beaten and killed and punished for my sin and for your sin. That He died but then rose again and is now seated at the right hand of God. And through Him, through that, we can have forgiveness of our sins and a right and proper restored relationship with God. And the last one is C. What does the C stand for? Confess. Perfect. To confess, to go and tell people about what Jesus has done in your life. To tell people about how your life has changed because of the good news. And so my question is to every single person, young and older. I'm not going to say old. I did that before. Young and older. Well, yeah, I appreciate the chuckles over there. Okay. What is your next step? Everybody has a next step. Everybody has something to think about. How can I be serving God? How can I be a part of this church? How can I exercise my gifts for the good of Normandale and for the good of the neighborhood around us? How can you faithfully serve God as a member of the body for the common good of this church and the world? That's the question. I'm praying we'll get into worship. Is that good? Yeah, Nick likes prayer. Okay, good. God, I thank you so much for today. And I thank you just for how beautiful it is to get to gather together. I'm in a school cafeteria and with all sorts of people, all different ages, all different gifts, but that you intentionally brought this body of people together. That you intentionally gifted every single person who has decided to make you the boss of their life, your Lord and Savior. You have given them gifts. Gifts for the common good, gifts for the good of this body, and gifts for the good of the neighborhood around us. I pray you'd help us to realize what they are and to put it into action. I thank you so much for all these kids that have helped us, that have led us in worship today. And I pray you'd help us to continue celebrating. Would you guys stand and join us?